Okay, well, I think that served as a good example of, sort of the one of the biggest projects I can think of on that front. And I want to kind of bring it back to Minnesota now and look at some of the other projects that have been accomplished in our state that really should be featured. And I was really pleased when I was kind of doing my research to put together speakers for this to find that the city of Mankato has done so many things already, kind of at least under my radar. I'm sure a lot of other people here are aware of it, but I was pleasantly surprised to find out a lot of the projects that they've already been working on, especially being a native of Mankato myself. I haven't lived there in about 15 or 20 years, but proud to see the progress they've made and what they continue to do looking forward when it comes to water conservation and reuse. I'd like to introduce Mary Fralish from the city of Mankato. She's also a native of Mankato and received a bachelor's degree in biology with a minor in chemistry from Mankato State. She began her career with the city of Mankato shortly after graduation from college as a chemist for the wastewater treatment plant. In over 41 years with the city, she's moved from the position of wastewater plant superintendent, public works director, and most recently to the position of public utilities director. She oversees water wells, reservoirs, treatment facility, wastewater lift stations, and treatment facility for that, plus reuse and recycling. So please help me welcome Mary Fralish.
Well, thank you for having me today. Generally, my audience is wastewater treatment professionals, so this is a little bit different venue for me, but I appreciate you having me here. Just a quick little tour of our wastewater treatment plant in Mankato. That's where we start. We have a couple different people that give tours in Mankato from the wastewater treatment plant. And if I did the short tour, I would say that the wastewater comes in here and it exits here to the Minnesota River. We have other people that do a little bit longer tour. We have one of our guys does about a 5-hour tour, but basically, it's a tertiary treatment plant. We have our main pumping station that collects the water from Mankato as well as 6 other communities. It goes through from the pumping station. There's grit removal. There's a physical separation in our primary tanks. We have aeration basins where we have biological treatment, final clarification, and then generally it would have gone out into the river. Basically, we are a facility that generates clean water, biosolids, and methane gas. The biosolids then are processed through anaerobic digesters, and we land apply that eventually. But about 12 years ago, we were approached by a power plant that wanted to locate in Mankato, and they needed a water source. I'll go into some of the details, but the end result was the construction of a water reclamation facility where we end up with Title 22 type of water, which can be used for a variety of sources or uses. So this is, it's kind of like adding a water treatment plant at the end of a wastewater plant. The power company was Calpine. They're an independent power producer. They focus on clean natural gas and geothermal electricity generation. They had power plants mainly in California and Florida, and they were looking to put one in the Midwest at the time. So in 2004, they approached the city about locating here. It had a unique opportunity for them because they had natural gas lines coming through that area. They had easy access to the electrical grid as well, but they needed the power, the water. They've gone through their first phase of construction, and they're negotiating for a second phase where they'll be expanding that as well. They needed water. They were looking at a peak requirement of 6.2 million gallons of water per day at their full build-out. The water that they used was going to be most of it evaporated with just a 25, with a, they were going to recycle it about 4 times so that they would lose 25% of that water. They wanted to build a water reclamation facility. The city, once we knew that they were intending to build in our area, We had some concerns about them putting in a new well to take that water out of our area, and we had just undergone an expansion of our wastewater treatment plant, so the quality of the wastewater was very good at the time. We offered them the wastewater from that facility, and they decided that that was their best alternative. They didn't have to worry about some other permits from other agencies as well. We ended up constructing with them this water reclamation facility. It consisted of many different facets. Basically, it's chlorination, turbidity control, and disinfection. But in order for them to build that, they also offered the city that they would build us a phosphorus removal plant at the same time. They located it at the wastewater treatment plant rather than at their facility because they didn't want to be in the wastewater treatment business. There were no regulations with the MPCA at the time for water reuse. That was 12 years ago. And so the MPCA worked with them, and they actually adopted the Title 22 standards from California. There were some turbidity regulations, some total coliform regulations, which we had to meet for that. It changed our discharge permit for the facility because the wastewater, the reuse water that went to the power plant was actually looped back. Their 25% of their water came back to the wastewater plant, mingled with our effluent, and then we discharged it to the Minnesota River. We considered them to be a significant industrial user because they had a direct impact into our effluent. So we put some regulations on them as well. Some of those are forward-looking in case there are chloride regulations on our discharge permit as well. Total phosphorus was a concern because they were adding phosphorus in their facility, and we do have regulations on the phosphorus, so we had additional regulations internal to the plant that we had to meet. The agreement with them was fairly unique. They built the water reclamation facility. It was a cost of about $22 million. About half of that cost really had nothing to do with the water that they needed. It was just specifically for the city of Mankato for our phosphorus removal. So the agreement states that we will give them water at no cost for 20 years. We own and operate the water reclamation facility. After the 20 years, we would be able to charge them for the water that we would supply them with. If we have an operations and maintenance budget for about $450,000 per year that we are applying towards that $10 million that they had granted us, but we will never repay it before that 20 years. They agreed to the capital costs for that $6.2 million. They upfronted all of the costs for that facility, but we are, and then they built the pipelines and all the engineering costs. And the city agreed to give them the water. We provide them the O&M costs and any capital expansion of the 6.2 to the 12 was our cost. The timeline, they broke ground in 2004. They were on the fast track, and by June of 2006, they were up and running and supplying electricity to the grid. There were a lot of economic benefits to our city in particular. A million man hours worked. We had 300 people working on construction. There's about 24 permanent jobs in the area, and it increased the city's tax base. But the environmental benefits were the reuse of the effluent water. The Minnesota River quality was improved because of the discharge, the increase in quality of our discharge. No removal of the groundwater for electrical generation, and no new discharge points in the Minnesota River. The benefits, it increased our capacity. We were able to meet our phosphorus discharge limits much earlier than we would have had to before. And the benefits to them was that they had the water use and they had us operating and maintaining the facility. This is one of the pictures of the construction. This is actually the chlorine contact basin for the water reclamation facility. And this is as it's completed. This is the main building taking our effluent. The first part of the building is the phosphorus removal. The second part is the filtration and then the chlorine contact basins. Basically what's happening, this is the phosphorus removal portion where we're adding silica sand for ballast. We're also adding ferric chloride for the phosphorus removal, and then we're adding a polymer for in order to coagulate the material. Ferric chloride storage tanks, we have about 24,000 gallons of ferric chloride on site. This is the polymer system that we're adding. Also, the makeup water is our effluent, our reuse water, and silica sand. That's just the eductor for the sand. These are the coagulation basins where the phosphorus is removed. And you can see in this picture where everything's coagulating together. And the outcome is this clean water. But this is only the first part of that facility. The second part is the actual Title 22 portion where the water goes through filtration discs. And that's just the external view of it. And you can see the drums inside where the water exfiltrates through there. And that's just one of the membranes that the water is filtered through. There's the overflow, and you can see the water quality is really excellent. The chlorine contact basin. This is a picture, a graph of our phosphorus discharge over time, and you can see that we had higher phosphorus in our effluent. We had put our expansion online, it dropped it down fairly low, but then once the this new facility went online, we're averaging about a 0.31 milligrams per liter over the course of the year. It also enabled us to sell phosphorus credits to some of the other communities across the Minnesota River Basin. We mainly, for some smaller cities, we had a couple larger cities on at the time, and a couple of industries that discharge into the Minnesota River Basin. Some of those have dropped out now because they are doing their own phosphorus treatment. Did we have any problems with this? We did. There was some concern by the operators of the silica sand. We did some air quality monitoring for that, and it passed the time limits for them to be exposed to the silica sand. It incurred some additional laboratory work, a lot of extra controls that we had to maintain. And I showed you that filter disc before, but there's a learning curve on how much ferric chloride to add, so the operators had a little learning curve on that. One of the difficulties we had was we had one major industrial discharger in our location, and they discharged an awful lot of phosphorus. In order for us to remove all that phosphorus, we had to add more ferric chloride. The more ferric chloride we added, the lower the pH dropped. The outcome of that was we enforced pretreatment regulations against that facility so that they removed the phosphorus up front before it even came to the wastewater plant. Phosphorus then from that facility dropped down dramatically. But you can see some of those peaks were very difficult to treat at the wastewater plant. We requested in our permit a variety of uses for this water. Everything we could think of, we put on that roster of things that we could use. In 2015, the amount of reuse water, of course, a lot of it went to the power plant. 140 million gallons went to the power plant. Internally, within the wastewater plant, we used 214 million gallons. That's mainly for cooling pumps and blowers, and makeup water, cleaning water, that type of thing. There was also a new park constructed next to the wastewater treatment plant, and we're using irrigation for that, for the Grand Lawn area. We also put in a recycle water station where people can come and either with a tanker or whatever they need, and they can pick up the recycled water. We sell it for about a dollar less per unit than we do the drinking water. Our own city uses it for street sweeping, sod establishment, and then I'll get to the bare root tree irrigation here in a little bit. This is one that we have some, actually that's kind of a purple, should be more of a purple color than the blue, but we have fire hydrants throughout the facility that are mainly on the reuse water. This is a picture of the riverfront park. That's our wastewater plant is located right up here. So we've pumped that water, and it's irrigating this whole Grand Lawn area. We've got a little amphitheater here. So that whole area is being irrigated with Title 22 water. One of the regulations requires that we do have some signage out there, just that it's non-potable, basically. We did have to put in a dechlorination system for that because one of the requirements for this reuse water is that it's chlorinated quite heavily. So in order to use it for irrigation, we had to dechlorinate it. This is our waste receiving station that we had constructed, and you can see that in addition, we had put in a fill spout, and it's also used for cleaning our city vehicles, and then the water drains back to the plant. Picture the purple pipe. Generally, it's a lavender color, but the plant operators have it Viking purple, of course. This is one of our street sweepers using city water. We're also looking at ice rinks for using that water. This is another project that was just completed about 2 weeks ago. This is at the water treatment plant. We have ultrafiltration at the water plant, and there's a lot of reject water for that. We worked with the Department of Health, and now we had put in some additional piping. The total cost of this project was about a little over $1 million. And what we're doing is taking that reject water, we can take up to 10% of that water and cycle it back to the head of the plant for reuse. You can just see it going into our lime tanks. The project, some of that was for some additional piping, but a little over $1 million actually went to this project. Currently, we're at about 350,000 gallons per day that we're recycling and reusing at the water treatment plant. In 2016, we're estimating we'll save here about 184 million gallons of water, roughly equal to a population of about 5,000 people. It also has the advantage of decreasing the flow to our wastewater treatment plant. We're just beginning to undergo a facility plan for the wastewater plant. And one of the things that some of the data is coming out is that we're really at or close to peak capacity at the treatment plant. So it decreases our 11.25 million gallon per day wastewater facility by a significant amount. The other project I just wanted to briefly talk about is our bare root tree irrigation. Next to that waste receiving station, the Parks Department decided to use some of that water for bare root tree planting. You can see that we had some volunteers help us prepare it. We built some barriers. They put the bare root trees in this receiving pad. You can see that then they filled it with gravel, and then there's some piping and hoses that go across there for the irrigation portion of it. They've got all the trees planted. This was last April, was the first year we used it. And you can see how the irrigation crisscrosses that facility. And by September, we had significant tree growth. Normally, they lose about 25% of the trees once they're planted if they buy the bare root and plant them. And this, we don't have all the data in yet, but it looks as though most of them really survived. So the gravel beds, and generally the cost for purchasing these and then replacing them was pretty high, and the cost of the water was there. It's a city-owned facility, so it was an easy project to do. This year they've doubled the size of that facility. And a couple years ago we won the Minnesota Governor's Award for Water Conservation. I like to end up with all our tours at the plant and have see if the people taking the tour can take a guess which is our drinking water and which is our effluent water, and they can't tell. So that in itself, the only last project is the operators at the plant built a little falling pond here, and that's made up of our reuse water as well. Thank you.
We have some time for questions. there are any. I was curious about the trees. So then how long do they stay there? And then they're just planted in parks around the city when they're older?
They're planted. They're going to be doing the planting in the tree bed on Friday. So late April, they plant them, and then they take them out in September. And they're mainly boulevard and park trees.